Good morning. Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you to our digital listeners for tuning in today. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 10 today. Matthew chapter 10. Go ahead and open up your Bible there with me. 2 weeks ago, we were in this text, and we're going to move forward and get an idea of where Jesus is sending his disciples and what purpose that they have. Let me go ahead and open us up with a word of prayer today. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for those that are here that are able to gather even digitally online and listen. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that I have to preach this text. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your understanding and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us the power of discernment, Lord, so that we can fully grasp what it is that you're teaching us through Matthew chapter 10 today. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up our Bibles and to study together, even though we are displaced and in different places. And Lord God, what a wonderful opportunity it is to still be able to gather together with other believers, to be able to understand what they're going through and to be able to pray for them and to encourage them, Lord God. And I pray that your word is an encouragement to all of us today. I pray that you would bless it and bless this time now as we're in the Word together. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. All right, so we're in Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to start with verse 1 just to give us a little context. It says, "And when Jesus had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." Now make note that this power was given to the disciples specifically for this mission that they were sent out for. So this was a limited power. Doesn't mean that automatically anybody becoming disciples of the Lord is going to get this power. All right, look with me at verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go out into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now the disciples were not to go out to the Gentiles at all, not even to the Samaritans, but they were to specifically go to the lost sheep of the Israelites, meaning those who did not yet know or have a relationship with Jesus. And what was their message? Their message was that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the Messiah has come. Choose whether or not you will follow him. Now let's continue in verse 8. Jesus says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." In other words, Jesus is saying, "I'm giving you these free gifts. Don't hold on to them. Instead, go out and use them for my glory." And note here that they are free. And the disciples were not to charge for what they did. And it's good that Jesus said that, because I'm sure Judas, if left alone, would have set up a booth, a healing booth, and charged for each treatment that he made. And by the way, just as a side note, because we're talking about healings here, I don't believe, personally, I don't believe in modern day faith healers. And my reasoning for that is because of two primary reasons that we see of the healing done by the disciples and Jesus here. Number one, Jesus himself, or when the disciples healed, it was instantaneous. You know, the man with a withered hand, Jesus spoke and his hand was instantly healed. The young girl who was dead, Jesus told to rise up and she was alive instantly with no problems, completely healed. Every instance that we see of healing happened immediately. And we don't see that happening today with the faith healers that you see on TV who have these big draws, these big events that they have come out for. There's a lot of times internal things that are going on with people, or psychological things going on with people and so on. And there's this assumption that they are healed and move on. But even if someone came with a broken leg or something where they just couldn't move, or any kind of problem that there was, maybe their eye, they couldn't see, they were blind, whatever healing was done by Jesus or the disciples was instantaneous. And we just do not see that happening in any of the instances of healing that we see from these big, well-known faith healers today. And number two, Jesus never charged anyone for healing. And we see the disciples were to freely give what was given to them. Free. And we don't see that today either. Faith healing today is a big business. Lots of money, power, or prestige comes to those who provide healing. And we don't see any of those faith healers just walking down the street, just helping people, encouraging people, healing people as they just see them regularly in the city. There's always a meeting place somewhere gathered together and a big event happening and lots of different wheels and stuff working with that. And that's just not how Jesus or the disciples provided healing. And that's not really the biblical sense for the healing either. Now think again about here in verse 8. Jesus says, "Freely you have received, freely give." Now what has God given us freely? And how can we pass that on to others? Well, consider with me 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Now, God gives us His word and His understanding, and we need to be an encouragement to others by passing those helps that we are freely given on to others. Regular encouragements and helps throughout our regular days. As we are encouraged by God, as God gives us encouragements as we're studying through Scripture and encouragements come alive to us, we need to take those on and, yes, be encouraged by them. We need to learn by them. And then we need to turn around and use those encouragements for others. You know, right now I'm reminded of a text I was just reading in my personal study this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to pick this up in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Now let's pause here for just a moment. Notice that God the Father is given another name here. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Now this should be a distinct reminder to us that when we face circumstances in life that pull us down, before we attempt to drown out the discomfort with any other earthly vice, we should first go to the biggest resource that we have, and that is the God of all comfort. Now let's see how the God of all comfort helps us. Look with me at verse 4. It says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation?" Now this is fantastic. Our number one resource for comfort indeed helps to comfort us regardless of the tribulation, the terrible circumstances that we are facing, regardless of what kind of tribulation we're going through. Now let's finish this verse. "That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now I want to hone in on this one verse. And let me ask you again, what is our purpose in life? Our purpose in life is to bring glory to God. Now, God uses our discomfort, our tribulation, our trials, and our difficulties in life to drive us to Him and to seek encouragement from Him. And when we are comfortable in life, when we have no discomfort, we tend to stop looking to God. We tend to get into our Bibles less and less. We focus on us so much more. We pray less. And we stop encouraging others so much. I've been in many churches filled with comfortable people. Before and after the Bible studies and services, I hear conversations filled with the latest movies that they watched and how great the game was, or the latest gadget that they bought, or the great meal that they enjoyed. And don't get me wrong, these are good things to talk about. These are opportunities to fellowship. But what is missing from those conversations is, how is your spiritual walk going? I have been praying for you about the trial you are going through. I have been praying for you about your spiritual walk. Let's talk about the Bible verse that you've been struggling with. Let me share experiential knowledge with you to help you overcome in the circumstance and keep pressing on. Or even, how can I be praying for you this week? You just don't hear that from comfortable people. And let me say this again. God uses our discomfort, our tribulation, our trials, and our difficulties in life to drive us to Him and to seek encouragement from Him. And when we are growing, when we are seeking God, when we are learning to overcome our difficulties in life through God's help, we are changing and we are becoming encouraged. And as God encourages us and we grow and change from it, we are to take those comforts and encouragements and invest them into other people. And I said invest, not just share them with other people, but invest them into other people. Now, God allows us to go through discomfort to bring Him glory. We take our growth and encouragements and encourage others, which brings God's glory. Now, look with me at verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, Jesus suffered in life here on the earth, and He suffered on the cross. Now, those who are part of His family, those committed to serving Him, will suffer also for God's glory. Now, Scripture instructs us to rejoice in our suffering for the cause of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Verse 16 says, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." Now, I think some of us get the idea that the suffering mentioned here is when we are preaching or teaching Christ. Now, that is some of the suffering, but some of it is just obeying and living for Jesus. In other words, we get to suffer. We get to face trials. We get to go through spiritual aches and pains that we may grow, that God may be glorified, and that we may teach others how we have faced and overcome the trials through God's help. Now, I know this is quite the opposite of what a lot of preachers teach today. There are many, many teachers that will never, ever, ever preach from this text because it is uncomfortable. And we should just be focusing on how God is going to give us health, wealth, and prosperity. But God never promises those things. He promises that we will use ourselves for His glory. He promises us these trials and these circumstances and these hardships for the purpose of making us more like Him and for the purpose of taking that encouragement that we get from Him and giving it on to others. Now look with me at verse 6. "Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation which is effective, for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Now, if a gospel believer is afflicted, it is for the benefit and sanctification, which is spiritual growth, of those other believers around them. Or if they are comforted, it is still for the benefit of those around them, because we are to learn from both situations and take what we have learned to help our brothers and sisters in the Lord to grow. Now look with me at verse 7. "And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation." And when you suffer in life, I am a partaker. And when I suffer in life, you are a partaker. The way that Jesus designed the church is that as a family, we suffer with the other members of the family when they are going through burdens and difficulties in life. Now, our suffering is a burden on our heart to pray for that brother or sister, to encourage them and to help them where God opens the door for us to help. And as we partake in each other's sufferings, in each other's trials and hardships, we too will grow spiritually and draw closer to each other and the Lord. Now, I say that That means that we have to draw close. And for some of us, that means that we need to draw closer to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the further that we are away from other brothers and sisters in Christ, and the less that we talk to them, the less that we understand what's going on in their lives, the less that we are going to be praying for them, the less that we're going to be thinking about them, the less that we're going to be sharing with them the hardships even that are going on in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26 says, "If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Now, there is a piece here that is vitally important. I will never know of your suffering unless you tell me of your suffering. And you will never know of my suffering unless I tell you of my suffering. Now, there are times that the Holy Spirit guides us in praying for each other. But the way that Jesus designed the family, we are not to hide the problems that we face from each other, especially not spiritual leaders or stronger brothers and sisters in the faith. We are to be open about our struggles so that we can partake of each other's sufferings. This is Jesus' design for his family. The encouragement that we are given and the gifts that we are given, we are to pass these on to each other in order to help each other grow and thrive in Christ. Now, let me ask you today, are you hiding your suffering? Do you have walls up around your life that you are not letting other people even take a look inside of your life? You're not letting other brothers and sisters in Christ even know that you're handling some kind of burden or some type of trial. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to be open with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know that many times today we hear from people around in the world that you should shoulder these things yourself. You should protect yourself and not let other people know what's going on. But that's not God's design for his family. We need to be open. And in open with each other, we need to be helping and praying for each other, bringing encouragement and not discouragement to each other. If we are not open with each other, we cannot help each other. We cannot fulfill what God's design for his family is. Now, if you're holding on to a burden today, let it go. Don't hold on to it. Share it. Let us pray for you. Let us pray and encourage and help each other as Jesus has designed us to do. And let me give a little clarifier here. If you're holding on to a burden, take it to someone godly in your life. And if you don't have someone godly in your life, take it to a pastor. Take it to a church, and a church will pray for you. Don't take it to social media. Don't take it to the internet and post it and hope that someone is going to reach out to you. You need to take it to someone who's godly, someone who knows what to do with it, someone who can be praying for you and encouraging you, as we will here at Campbell Bible Church. If you're listening as a digital listener today and you don't have a regular church, I would invite you to attend Campbell Bible Church. Now, if you live outside of the area and you cannot, I would invite you to go over to on our website to the menu that says prayer. We have a section there that you can fill out for any prayer requests. And let us know how we can be praying for you. Let us know what burden is going on in your heart, in your life today, so that we can reach back out to you and just let you know that we're praying for you. It is a great means of encouragement. And as we pray for you, you can be praying for us and we can be praying for each other. And that is God's design for his family. We were never meant to face this life alone. We all have burdens, every one of us. We all have struggles, every one of us. And we are all learning how to trust in God and how to overcome these things. But we need not do it alone. We need to do it together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the text that you've given us today, both in Matthew chapter 10 and over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people that open up our hearts and our minds to you. I pray, Lord, that we would not be comfortable, but we would instead push forward and endure, and allow you to make changes in our lives so that we may draw closer to you and be more encouraged by you and be strengthened by you. And I pray, Lord, that as we suffer and go through trials and persecution, and as we go through just circumstances of life and such and things that are weighing on our hearts, let us take these things to other brothers and sisters in Christ and share them with them in order for us to be praying for each other as you have designed your church to do. Lord, let us remember that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are here to help each other, to encourage each other, and we are all facing similar trials. They may not look exactly the same, but most of them, if not all of them, at the center, essentially are the same thing. Ours may look a little bit different, but it's much of the same that we're going through. Lord, help us to see that everyone faces these trials, everyone especially who is a follower of you, one who wants to grow, one who wants to learn, one who wants to know you more in a stronger way. Lord God, we all face different obstacles that you put in our life in order that we may be built up to be more like you, and so that as we are strengthened and comforted and helped, that we can take that strength and comfort and help and pass it on to other brothers and sisters in Christ that may be going through similar trials and similar circumstances. Help us, Lord, not to give up, but to continue to press on for you today, and help us to remember that our purpose, our entire purpose in this life, is to bring you all of the glory. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Thank you to our digital listeners for tuning in today. Please go ahead and leave us a message through the prayer portal in the menu area to be able to let us know how we can be praying for you. Also, you'll see other encouragements in the menu item of Moments in Truth, a podcast that we launch here from Campbell Bible Church. I hope it's an encouragement to you, and I pray that you would take advantage of these opportunities. And I just pray that you would be encouraged and just feel joy today in your heart. And we will continue to be praying for our digital listeners. May God richly bless you today.